Hello, everybody, and welcome in for the Rocky Top Roundtable. It is Georgia Week, guys, and of course, the biggest question all week long will be the health of Nico Iamaleava. Brent, it just boils down to, you know, where's he at health-wise? If he's able to go, obviously, it's not like an ankle or a shoulder or something like that. Normally, when you have a when you're coming off concussion type symptoms, it's just either you're good or you're not.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know, I think this is going to go all the way up to game time, or certainly up to the end of the week, and we'll see where it goes from there. And how much does he practice? Where's Tennessee think he is? And obviously that changes a lot of the dynamics about this matchup, Rob. But when you look at this matchup, it starts in the trenches. It's a different Georgia team. It's a Tennessee team, a little bit beat up on the offensive line. Can Tennessee do some things against Georgia's defensive front, really in the run game, that they haven't been able to do the last two or three years?
Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, for the first time in a long time, I mean, I know you mentioned the injuries. Tennessee's, you know, that's going to be an ongoing thing with Tennessee, and that how healthy are they up front. But Georgia's been banged up, you know, too, and they're coming off, you know, a couple of really physical games. I know Tennessee is too. But, man, it just feels like a really good – I'm not saying Tennessee's better. It feels like Tennessee can stand toe-to-toe with Georgia in the trenches, especially Tennessee's defensive line front seven for the first time in this matchup in a long time.
Yeah, regardless if Nico's in this football game or not, if it's Nico or if it's Gaston Moore, I mean, Tennessee needs to run the football. Dylan Sampson's been phenomenal all year long, but, of course, he was not feeling 100% during or after the game. But, you know, 30 carries, I don't know. You hope Deshaun Bishop is ready to go in this one, not just to be that second back, but also he's done pass pro in Arkansas, at Oklahoma before. You know, Peyton Lewis, where are you in that regard? You just – the run game, regardless of who's taking snaps at center – or for under center, needs to be a big part of this football game, as it should be every single game for Tennessee.
I will say this. Is it just me, or it certainly feels like Lance Hurd the last couple of weeks has started to get some momentum.
He hadn't showed up, and that's good.
You know, which goes back to a guy that hadn't played a whole lot of football coming into the year, and now he's, you know, half a season in or two-thirds of the season in, and I think, you know, you're starting to see him make some great strides, which is a great sign for the offensive line.
Yeah, this will be his biggest challenge to date because he has no road game experience. I mean, in a hostile environment. No offense to Charlotte and NC State, but he didn't play at Oklahoma. When he started the one game he started at LSU, that was against Auburn in Baton Rouge. So now this is his first time in a hostile environment in what is Georgia's first night game of the year. So he's going to have to be really mentally sound, more so than being physically sound. I think physically he's gotten a lot better, but he's going to handle himself. When Tennessee was down there 2 years ago, they were a train wreck with that crowd noise outside at the tackle position working itself in. I mean, they had seven false start penalties in that game. Tennessee's going to have to be much better, and Lance Hurd's going to have to be great managing the crowd noise.
When you look at Tennessee's ability to throw the football, no matter who the quarterback is, I think the tight ends have to step up in this game. I think they have to be a big part of not protection, but actual, you know, let Kitzelman and Stays and Ethan Davis, you know, be a part of the passing game.
Well, I mean, they've got to find some rhythm on offense, Eric, period, whatever it is. I mean, Kentucky game, it's all tight end heavy, and then they go in this game, and they're in 12 personnel, two tight ends the whole game, and they targeted the tight ends twice.
Yeah.
And that was it. So it feels a little sporadic offensively in terms of what they're grasping for with play calling and what they're trying to accomplish. So we'll see what it looks like offensively. It's hard to figure out.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, obviously the 12 personnel is something this team feels very comfortable with. I know you've wrote about that. And Tennessee lived in 12 personnel with two tight ends in that game against Mississippi State. But, yeah, to your point against Kentucky, Miles Kitzelman was a huge part of the passing game. And not so much for the tight ends overall. Ethan Davis had a tight end screen. I thought that was a nice
play.
Yeah, I thought that was a nice play design. And, you know, it helped Nico from going so far deep with these digs and 20 yards down the field doing some intermediate passing game with those tight ends the last couple of weeks. Continue that, and even if it is Gaston Moore, I think that's something that would help him as well, having a security blanket of a Kitzelman, Stays, or Davis.
Rob, much like the, you know, the security blanket for a running game or the tight ends, another security blanket can be the good defense. Tennessee obviously has had a few plays, you know, the first play against Kentucky and then a few plays last week get popped on the last few weeks, but they're still, you know, they've still, you know, run that, you know, total up to the number of times they've allowed a team to get to 20 points. Was it 9 in a row, 10 in a row, now going back to the end of last year, playing really good.
Really well, really sound. I mean, I think they gave it some in the run game, more in the run game than they wanted to last 2 weeks. But you know, at the same time, they played a backup quarterback in an SEC football game the entire second half and increased the lead. I'm not, you know, Mississippi State's not a world beater, but they put 31 on Georgia, 24 on Texas A&M, but Tennessee outscored them in the second half with Gasson Moore quarterback. And I mean, I think that says a lot about the defense. And I think, you know, I think it goes without saying that Tennessee's going to go to Athens and win. The defense is going to have a heavy hand in that. And man, Ole Miss kind of gave you the blueprint, I thought.
For as great as Tennessee's defense has been this year, and it's been phenomenal. Again, the thing, the streak you've referenced about not allowing opponents 20 points. I mean, they didn't allow Mississippi State over 300 yards total offense, not over 100 yards of receiving. But the last 2 weeks, the rush defense has not been there. Surprisingly, you look at Georgia, Georgia's like 15th in the league in rushing offense. So can you get back to being who you are? Gap integrity, not getting misfits, not having MAs. That's going to be key for Tennessee because that the rush defense is the only thing that's kind of been limiting this defense from being elite at least the last 2 weeks.
When you look at Mississippi State, they did get to 30 on Georgia. Is that something Hype can look at what Lebby did because they have the same offense and go, okay, these are areas where they had success. We need to try to exploit that too. Kind of, how do you think they'll approach that, Brad?
Well, I mean, Mississippi State got to 30 points because they threw it. They threw it all over the lot against Georgia. I mean, quarterback threw for over 300 yards and three touchdowns in the game. And I mean, they did not line up and just run it and have great balance. It was all about really throwing the football. And so, can Tennessee go down there and can they throw the football? Can they win one-on-ones on the outside? They haven't been able to do that. And in these games previously, Georgia's vastly different, okay? Can they protect well enough up front in front of a home crowd? Again, I think this is Georgia's Armageddon game, Rob. I mean, you're going to get Georgia's best because this is tailor-made for Kirby Smart to have that team chewing some nails on the sideline. So can Tennessee effectively win on the perimeter?
Man, I mean, You absolutely are going to get Georgia's A game. I believe that. I mean, Kirby's going to be, you know, just at his best all week, needling, you know, winding, you know. But I just, the perimeter, what you're saying, Hubbard, I don't know. I don't know if Tennessee can go down there and throw for 300 yards, but I do know that Tennessee can do what Ole Miss did to Georgia with Tennessee's front seven versus Georgia's offensive line. Man, I think the blueprint is there, and I think Tennessee, I don't think they're quite as good as Ole Miss, you know, in the first four. Depth-wise, though, I mean, and with a star like James Pierce, I think Tennessee looks a lot like Ole Miss up front.
My biggest question is, and I agree, like, this place is going to be a hornet's nest. They're going to have all day to tailgate and have a few beverages, and it'll be loud. But I think you're going to get Georgia's best as far as, like, focus and being locked in. As far as actual, you know, physical football, like, what is Georgia's best? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sure that, you know, based off how they've been playing, I'm not sure that they're just all of a sudden be great pass protectors. Carson Beck's all of a sudden going to go back to a guy that was a Heisman contender going into the year, just based off of, I mean, I just think it's hard to totally flip the script. I'm not saying they don't play better, because I do think they'll play better, but it's hard for me to believe that all of a sudden they're just going to flip it and be Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, Eric, that Tennessee, unlike previous games, okay, where Tennessee's given up 24 points in the first half in every one of those meetings since Josh Heupel's been here, Tennessee doesn't have to be extraordinary or elite are just dominating. You know, they don't have to do anything extraordinary in this game. They've got to beat themselves. Mm-hmm. Defensively, they've got to get back to being more sound against the run, and they've got to do what they've done all year long. If they do, they're going to be in a football game with a chance to win it based on defense travels and how good Tennessee's defense is.
I mean, I couldn't agree more. I mean, this is a good Georgia football team. Don't hear us wrong here. But this is not the dominant number two in the nation in rush defense, the dominant, you know, red zone efficiency, all that type of stuff. I mean, middle of the road defensively in the league, still very solid, but middle of the road. Offensively, can't run the football, having protection issues up front. So play sound defense. Man, when you get to the red zone, you got to punch it in games like this, though. But I couldn't agree more. Be yourself, run the football, protect the football, and make some explosive plays where you had three the other night, you know, three touchdowns of 30 yards or more, only had three in the previous four games. And so I don't think it has to be anything extraordinary for Tennessee. I think Tennessee is a good football team. But again, you're on the road. Sometimes you don't play well on the road. How do you deal with all the extracurriculars of the crowd noise and all that? Potentially, we'll see a backup quarterback. Those are things I'm going to be paying attention to.
You know where I'm going here. Give me, take Nico off. Let's just say he plays. give me the guy. Whose game is this besides him?
I'm not going to give you a guy. I'm going to give you the stat. To me, it's red zone. Tennessee can't kick field goals. You can't go empty in the and come up empty in the red zone. Five red zone trips, no touchdowns against Mississippi State is not going to win it on the road, Rob, because I don't know that you're going to hit a bunch of splash plays for touchdowns. When you get inside the 20, you got to finish. That's, to me, is the biggest stat for Tennessee offensively in this game.
Yeah, that's a huge one. I'll go pass rush. James Pierce, if you want, an individual. Just watching what Ole Miss did to them. I mean, Carson Beck didn't have great stats. He was under pressure all day long. Every time I looked up, he's scrambling. And again, I think Tennessee's built very similar to how Ole Miss is built. That, to me, it's defensive line pass rush.
Yeah, I'm going to double down on that. Give me James Pierce. You know, big time players, big time games. I think this is it for Pierce. Carson Beck, 12 interceptions this year, 14 turnovers for Georgia in the last six games. Force them into bad decisions. Let your defense feast on that, and let your defense once again lead the way.
The last time Tennessee won in Athens, Derek Barnett, strip sack Corey Vereen with a big recovery. That has to happen. So I'm going to go with those guys. I think it's James Pierce. I think this is he doesn't necessarily have the stats that he's wanted to have all year. He's still been super disruptive, but a lot can change in one game if he goes out and does and just totally, you know, is a one-man wrecking crew on the defensive side of the ball and makes just momentum, you know, changing plays. So I'm going to go James Pierce. I think that's my guy for this game. He is Eric Kane, Rob Lewis, and Brent Hubbs. I'm Austin Price.